we're starting a new series called Distracted. And I want to just kind of, this morning, I want to just get you in the water on where we're going to be going over the course of the next few weeks. And I want to give you just, we're going to dive into scripture, give you some truth to kind of chew on a little bit in our lives, and then we're going to reflect as we celebrate communion. And then we'll come back after communion, and I'll have a couple more thoughts at the end. Sometimes we end service with communion. We're going to have a couple more thoughts at the end of communion, and then we'll close things out. So just want to give you a heads up on that. I remember, anyone who has kids, I struggle with distraction. I mean, like, my brain is just this constant, I'm thinking of other things other than what I'm doing all the time, or I'm distracted by thinking about nothing, and I'm just, like, zoned out, you know, whatever. I struggle with distractions, but if you've got kids, you know that kids, I mean, they're all over the place. They're zeroing in on things that you don't want them zeroing in on at any given moment. You know, getting kids ready for school in the morning is, I don't know if anyone else has this experience, but it's absolute torture in our house because there are so many other things that they're shiny and they're interesting and they're captivating for attention. And so one of the main things they hear come out of my mouth on school mornings is, hey, stay focused. What are you supposed to be doing right now? You know, because they're, oh, Legos are over here. I'm doing this thing over here. And I've got one child, especially back in the day, she used to be Charlie, our middle schooler. She's in eighth grade. When she was really little, she really used to get distracted. And she's, you know, she marches to the beat of her own drummer. She moves at her own pace. She always has. And, you know, now I'm to a place because I've matured as a human being where I can celebrate that in her. When she was a little kid, getting her ready for, like, to go out the door to 4K or to kindergarten, it was just, you had to just, every single thing that she had to do, you had to walk her through it. And I remember one day where I was at my wit's end going, you know, you got to focus, quit getting distracted with all these different things. And I lost it, and I was a jerk, and I raised my voice when I shouldn't have, and I acted in anger when I should have, and I'm like, you know, you gotta, I'm just getting after her, right? Like, everybody's late, and we gotta get out the door. It's just a little kid, you know? Like, when you're, man, parents who are in the thick of it right now, and you got little kids, toddlers, and whatever else, I feel for you, man. It's amazing the perspective you get on the backside of those years, and everybody says that, and then you still, I could never get that perspective in the middle of those years. So I lost it. I was a jerk dad in that moment, and I'm like shooing her out the door. You know, she's got half her snow stuff on, and I'm like, get out to the car. We need to, you know, the other kids are out there waiting, and she's walking out, and we had just gotten snow the night before, and I told this story years and years ago. We had just gotten a fresh snow. You know the kind where it's real cold out, and so the snow is crystallized. And it was this fresh blanket that was over the top of all the old hard-packed snow. And it was a sunny morning. And so the sun was just glistening off of all of the different, it was like there's just a layer of glitter across all the snow. And I'm, you know, whatever, and I'm, get out the door, and, you know, all this stuff. And she walks out into the snow, and she just stops. And she just goes, Dad, look at how sparkly everything is. It's so glittery. And I'm, it's like in this moment, I'm realizing what a horrible human being I am. And I'm like, yes, it's beautiful. God's made amazing things. Now get in the car. And she walks a couple steps further, and there were little like bunny tracks in the snow. And she stops again, and she's like, Dad, what do you think made those tracks in the snow? And I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, it's probably a bunny. Yeah, it's probably a family. Get in the car, you know, like kids just, it's, their attention span is all over the place. And in that particular instance, I thought she was being distracted from what she needed to be doing. I was actually probably distracting her from what she needed to be doing. She needed to be amazed and in wonder and all of those things, you know. And I'm thinking school is what she needed to do and get out the door is what she needed to do. But if you, like, fast forward to us as adults, we may not have some of those same little kid tendencies where we get caught up in all those different things or we get distracted by the shiny new thing. But if we're honest, we all deal with all kinds of distractions in life. There are values to all the different things in our lives, and they vary. Not everything is equally important. Not everything is not everything should have the equal weight of our attention and our focus. And there are most important things that we should be fixated on. But man, is it just me or is it really hard to focus on those most important things? Does anybody else feel that? Do you feel pulled in a million different directions? Do you feel pulled like it's so difficult to figure out what the most important things are because everything is screaming at you like it's the most important thing? And this whole series, this is what we want to talk about, is what are the most important things in our lives and how do we keep ourselves from getting distracted? So we're going to unpack that a little bit, but I want to talk to you this morning. We're going to kick things off by getting into a passage of scripture, Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Luke 10, 38, this is a story about Jesus, and I want to read slowly through it. I don't have a whole lot of content this morning because I want to just go slowly through it, and I want to give some space for you to sit in this morning. And really, when we get to the time where we celebrate communion, I want to give you some space to ask for the Spirit of God to give you his mind in this area in your life, okay? So let's read the scripture passage for this morning. Luke 10, starting verse 38, it says this, "As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, 'Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me.' 'Martha, Martha,' the Lord answered." You don't want Jesus saying your name twice like that. "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." This is a super simple story. Jesus is on his way someplace else. They take a pit stop. This woman Martha invites them into her home. He goes into her home. Martha's sister Mary just sits at Jesus' feet and is listening to everything that he's saying and is just completely present with him in that moment. And Martha is busying herself with all the preparations that need to be made. And she's, you know, anybody get crazy when you're entertaining guests? Anybody? I'm like, we always say, Carrie and I always say that we love to entertain people, but our kids are behind the scenes. They're like, you don't love entertaining people. We're around here while you're getting ready to entertain people. Our house is not a fun place to be when we're getting ready to entertain people. It's like, yay, it's joyful. We're going to have people over. And then it's just chaos before they get there, right? So Martha is in the thick of that. And she's freaking out watching her sister sit. She's freaking out watching her sister just be present in the moment with Jesus. And she can't stand it. To the point where she's like, "Jesus, do something about this." As if Jesus, being Jesus, wouldn't have already done something about it if something needed to be done about it in the first place. Right? She's like, "Are you not seeing this, Jesus? Like, my sister, she doesn't care that I'm doing all the things. I'm carrying all the weight of responsibility. All the obligations are crushing down on me. And she's just sitting here wasting time with you. Tell her to do some work. Tell her to do something." And Jesus just, I find it really interesting in this story. The issue is the distraction. It's not the preparations. It's the fact that it says Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. The scripture doesn't say that the preparations were the issue. The issue is that her focus shifted from where it should have been and could have been onto something totally different. And I read through this story and I go, listen, life has requirements. we've all got responsibilities. We've all got obligations in our lives. I mean, that's plain and simple. Every single one of us. The to-do lists don't get any shorter. Everybody wants a piece of us, right? Everybody, you know, if you don't set the agenda for your own life, somebody else will set it for you. If you don't decide how you're going to choose to spend your time, all of the squawking around you is going to determine how you're going to spend your life. And so, like, we're not trying to suspend reality in this series as we're going to be talking. We're not trying to pretend like we don't have a million different voices in our ears or a bunch of different things pulling us in a bunch of different ways. The issue is not the preparations. The issue is not the places to go, the people to care for, the responsibilities that we're to own. That's inescapable. God doesn't want us in our following of Jesus to just be raptured out of normal life. It's just that he doesn't want the normal life to distract us from what's actually most important. That's the key. All of those other pieces of reality, they're inescapable, and God is okay with that. The question for us this morning and that we're going to be asking ourselves over the next few mornings is, what are we organizing our life around? Do our lives orbit around all of the stuff and all of the obligations and all of the responsibilities, all of the preparations that need to be made? Or is our life orbiting around our relationship with Jesus and everything that's contained within that relationship with Jesus? And again, that doesn't mean you get sucked out of reality. No, the reality that you live in, the context that you and I do life in, that's the context that God wants us to encounter him. The everyday, mundane, the chores around the house, raising children, investing in grandchildren, going to school, whatever it is, working the job, whatever it is that you're doing, that stuff, that concrete stuff of life, that is the context God wants you to meet him in. But that doesn't happen if our life is all about those things. Does that make sense? It only happens if our life is all about him and our life is orbiting around him. And we just realize that all the circumstances, the details of our life, that's just the context that we relate to God from within that area. That's what he's calling us to. So when you and I orbit around all the other things, when it's all about the responsibilities and the obligations and all the stuff that makes up our lives, when it becomes about those things rather than Jesus, which actually what we end up doing when we orbit our life around all those other things, we're just trying to add Jesus into our life. Like he's an a la carte item to be added on to our order. I would also like a taco in addition to my enchilada plate. Like I'll just add Jesus to my life. Like we're trying to make him that. We just add him to that. Instead of going, no, Jesus is everything, but he shows up in the concreteness of my life, right? When we try to do that, order our lives around the wrong things, which is exactly what happened to Martha, all we end up doing is making ourselves worried, making ourselves upset and anxious, stressed out, busy all the time, but feeling like we're accomplishing nothing. You know, you turn around at the end of the day and you go, I don't know, I was busy all day, but I don't know what I accomplished, right? Usually that's a sign that our priorities are out of whack. Now, before I go any further, I want to just make a blanket statement. This is not coming from a place of me being like, now listen here, I've got this all together, and so I'm going to explain to you how to not be distracted into life and make sure that everything is ordered perfectly the way that it's supposed to be. This is a constant struggle, a constant struggle. And so for me, this is what God is doing in my life and stirring up in my life right now. I want us to examine the portions of our lives that sometimes go unexamined. That's what we're called to do, is to take our lives, bring it before God and go, hey, you search it, you see what needs to be changed in me, and you speak to me, and we're gonna bring our whole lives before God. And so I want to invite you into that kind of a conversation with God, not stand up here and act like I have it all together. So, which, you know, if you've been coming around here for more than one Sunday, you know, I make no... There's no issue of me making it look like I have it all together. The scriptures use the word worried in talking about Martha. That she was worried about. Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things. That word worried that's being used in the scripture, that is used to describe, I mean, all it means, it's just simple, and this isn't, you know this. It is an agitated state of mind. It's our minds shifting back and forth between all different kinds of things, and your mind becomes agitated to the point where it's inhibiting her ability to concentrate and focus. Her worry was a distraction. The responsibilities and the preparations had become a distraction for her. And in that moment, it caused her to lose focus on what she needed to be focusing on. Jesus makes it pretty simple for us. And I like this because I'm sort of like give me the bottom line from other people. I'm not good at giving it. You know that because you sit through my sermons, okay? But I like to like just reduce it like to the, just give me the 50-foot, like the 50,000-foot view on things, okay? I want to talk big concepts here. What are we talking about? And Jesus made it really, really clear what all of life is meant to be about. He made it really, really clear. He was asked, of all the scriptures, of all the commands, what are the most important commands? And Jesus replied in Mark 12:29. He said, the most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. And I love, you know, only Jesus. When you get asked which is the most important one, only Jesus can get away with giving two and being like, yep, that's the most important one. It's these two. Which the reason why is because they are inextricably linked together. You cannot love God and not love people. And if you love people, I believe that you are being led towards God if you're loving people. Or God is the one that's fueling that in you. And so Jesus, like, he makes it super easy. Hey, listen. All of life can be boiled down to loving God with, I like to say, loving God with everything you got and loving people with everything you got. That's it. So when we talk about what is most important and what are we most easily distracted from, it's that. It's loving God with everything we got and loving people with everything that we've got. And I want to unpack that just a little bit for where we're going to kind of go in the next couple of weeks. In the next few weeks, there's really three ways that we're going to be looking at this, that this whole loving God and loving people, that it fleshes itself out in this way. These are the things that God doesn't want us to be distracted from. It is communion with our Creator. That first and foremost, you were created in the image of God, and you were created to have communion with your Creator. That's the number one purpose in your life. But a part of that purpose and caught up in that purpose, it's a reason why Jesus said two when he was asked what's the most important one, caught up in that communion with the Creator, as we have communion with our Creator, is engagement in God's mission. That God desires to do his work in and through you in the world around you. That's priority for God, is that you would be engaged in his mission to love and to redeem the world around you. And the third piece that fits into this equation for us is its connection in relationships that we can so easily get distracted from. And those relationships, I mean, that Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. Those are relationships that we're supposed to be forming and investing in. And the mission of God moves along the scaffolding of our relationships most often. God can move outside of the scope of our relationships, but most often he's going to move within the framework of our relationships, the people that we have community with, right? And so in the next few weeks, we're going to be kind of examining that. What is communion with our Creator, engagement in God's mission, and connection in relationships, and what's the danger in us being distracted from that? Martha's busyness in the kitchen distracted her from what was most important. And there's a quote from Chuck Swindoll. He says, busyness ruins relationships. It substitutes shallow frenzy for deep friendship. It promises satisfying dreams but delivers hollow nightmares. It feeds the ego but starves the inner man. It fills the calendar but fractures the family. It cultivates a program but plows under priorities. You know, I think that the the distractions that we face take on a lot of different forms. And a lot of them, they're not bad in and of themselves, and that's a theme that we come back to over and over again. There is this, there are so many things in life, they are not wrong in and of themselves, but when they are made the focus of our lives, they become wrong. And Martha must have been so exhausted after Jesus' visit, but it was not because Jesus was visiting that she was exhausted. Jesus said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come to me, everybody who's weary and heavy burdened." Jesus isn't the one that was putting the heavy burden on her that was making her exhausted, but yet she walks away from time with him and is completely exhausted. And it's because priorities were out of whack. What is not supposed to be the main thing had become the main thing. And all of a sudden she's agitated and distracted and worrisome, focused on what should not be focused on. Our distractions take on a lot of different forms, and I'm not going to try to name those for you because you probably know what a lot of those things are. And again, I'm not saying what stuff do you need to stop doing, because you're like, well, sometimes being a parent takes all my energy and it feels like it's a distraction from other things, or doing my job, but I have to earn a paycheck, so I have to go to my job. Again, we're not saying pushing pause on all of those things. We're saying putting them in the proper perspective, putting them in the right place. So here's what I want us to do this morning. We're gonna celebrate communion, and what I want us to do is to reflect on that passage of Scripture where Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." And the second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There's no commandment greater than these.